Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna get ready.
What you gonna do?
Well,
what you
gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart to the
ball.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. What you
gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to come before your presence on this AM of the morning, which is now Friday morning, 2015. God allowing me to bring unto you the divine word of truth. Hallelujah. I just thank you for allowing me into your work area. Thank you for allowing me into your living room space. Then I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byways with the Old Ship of Zion on your podcast dial. I just thank those of you that so graciously continually to tune in and be a blessing until this ministry. This is a ministry. I'm not just wasting my time sitting here talking day after day, night after night, spending countless hours here. But I'm under the direction and instruction of God Himself. He is the one that put me on this mission, given unto me this itinerary, and I'm intending to carry it out to the best of my ability. And I just thank those of you, like I first stated, just so kindly to continue to tune in and be a blessing to this program. And for doing so, God has a blessing in store for you, you and you. Because the Bible tells us that we are helpers one to another. We are not of our own. We are bought and have been bought. The price has been paid in full by Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our Redeemer. And I just want to say right now, take this time and this podium, the stage, to send condolences out to those of you that have lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, the last 12 hours. Last 6 hours, the last 4 hours, an hour ago, a moment ago, seconds ago. And this is to let you know that whatever you're going through, you're not alone. God has allies all around this globe that are praying for you and with you in your hour of bereavement. And we will ask God to just bless you and bring about restoration to your soul. Because we all have been in that situation one time or another. And as long as this world exist, we will be going through the same identical thing. But we just want you to know this morning that you are not alone and that we are rooting for you. We're praying for you and with you. And so we just want you to be blessed and look up, because your Redeemer lives. All right, we're going to now go on into our opening prayer. Each time that we come across these skyways and airways, we're acknowledging our Lord and Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's our soon coming Messiah. Hallelujah. And so we're going to go right now. He's a native of Nazareth. And we're going to go down in prayer and acknowledge him at this time. So I'm asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. Father God, we come with a great heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to gather together in unity once again, God, around the spectrum. But we know that this earthly planet, God, is not our final destination. We know that you have lying in wait, God, a mansion that's not built by the hand of man. But you are the architect and you are the creator. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, God, we will continue to mount up, God, from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, coming as pilgrims through this barren land, God. And I'm asking you to anoint these lips of clay on this morning. I want to be able to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you to grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. Father God, we'll be so mindful to give your name the glory and honor and all the praise. These and other blessings we ask in your son's mighty, marvelous name. And we'll let the church say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And we've been talking about on our last sermon on the last recording. We was talking about the life and the time of the Apostle Paul. And he's noted for being one of the greatest teachers of all time, one of the greatest apostles. Hallelujah. And we are now on our volume 2 on this morning. And the words that Paul spoke, that he said that faith in Jesus, that it leadeth to salvation. We know that he was a great educated man, a scholar. He was a teacher, and he was given another name, and that was the name Saul. And we know that his family had a family business, and so he had a craft of being a tent maker. He talked about Jesus' crimes to the Jews as well as the Gentiles. And you know, in this life in which we live, you're going to go through prosecution. You're going to go through retribution. You're going to be talked at, talked down to. And so we know that in his lifetime, he went through persecution. And we're just revamping that era now in our time. The same prosecution that he went through, we're going through that right now in this time in which we live on planet Earth. And so we're just going to go into the life and time of the Apostle Paul. And we're asking you to get your good seat, get up close, hallelujah, and we'll make it personal. Get all your digital toys that you have at your disposal. And I want you just to go with me. I will be giving you some of the scriptures so you can go in and read at your own, leisure. And you can read for yourself the Word of God. And you can go right behind me because I'm telling you directly as the Word of God has presented it unto me. So we're going to talk about on tonight in our volume 2. We're going to talk about Paul's second and third missionary journey. And so we're told that the second missionary journey lasted from around 49 A.D. to around 52 A.D. And you can find that scripture reading in the Love Acts 15 and 36. Then on down through 18 and 22. So that would be Acts 15 and 36 through 18 and 22. And we're told that this journey was a very significant, hallelujah. And we're told that he spread the gospel much and widely. He'd taken the gospel from Asia to Southeastern Europe as well. And that his work began rather sadly, with some different opinions between Paul and Barnabas. And we are told the latter wanted to take Mark with them on the trip. Perhaps Paul had originally returned to Jerusalem because of his doubt about the Gentile mission. We're not really sure. But however, Paul was adamant that John Mark should not come. And so Barnabas and Mark left for Cyprus to continue the work there. So Paul took Silas north with him in Antioch, in Syria, and on to Tarsus, and back, hallelujah, through the recently founded church in Derbe. And we're told that while in Lystra, that Paul was introduced to a young man whom became one of his closest friends, most reliable friends, and his name is Timothy. And Timothy had a Jewish mother, and he had a Greek father. And he had become a disciple of Christ. He was the leader of the churches of Lystra. And Paul was to take Timothy with him. And they spoke well of him. And you can read in the Law of Acts 16 and 1 through 2 that living in a Greek family had meant that Timothy was not a circumcised Jew, because he was a Jew. That's in verse 1. And Paul felt that it would enhance Timothy if he were circumcised. So Timothy was circumcised at Paul's direction. There was no conflict here in Paul's thinking with the antagonism that he showed to the circumcision party. In his letter to the Galatians, it was one thing for a Jew to be circumcised in order than to reach his own people with the gospel, but altogether another to enforce circumcision on the Gentiles based on some false understanding. They need to be Jews in order to be proper Christians. And we know that spiritually guided of Jesus, not to work with Samaritans. We can read that in the Law of Acts 6 and 7. While preaching in Taurus, one night Paul had a vision of a man calling him to come and minister in Macedonia, concluding that this was God instructions, and instructing them on the next stage of their journey. They crossed by boat into the Greek province of Macedonia, where they preached in Neapolis, Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. From there they set sail south and preached in Athens and Corinth, where he stayed for about 18 months before crossing back to Ephesus in Asia, and then to Caesarea, Jerusalem, and back to Antioch. We are told that the work of the gospel continued to expand rapidly during their trip. The churches founded during the first journey were settling down well and more were added to their numbers. You can read that in the law of Acts 16 and 19. There were many encouragements and some very hard times as well of persecution. We're told that among the encouragements, Paul saw the successful founding of many more churches. He also saw the results of gospel message in the lives of some men and women who no doubt became special friends of the missionary team. In Philippi, they encountered a businesswoman called Lydia, who was converted and put the team up in her own house. They also saw the amazing conversion of their jailers. Hallelujah. When they were in prison in Philippi. We are told that Thessalonica, they saw converts like Jason being in prison for the gospel's sake. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. How they must have enjoyed the reception given them by the noble Bereans, who accepted the message with great eagerness. But examine the scripture, and that's exactly what you and I must do. We don't take anybody's word for the word of God, but we search its findings for ourselves. We have 66 books in the Bible, starting from Genesis, its conclusion, Revelation. Hallelujah, Jesus. So that the Old Testament, every day to see if what Paul said was true. Hallelujah. That's what the Bereans did. They searched out the scripture for themselves. And they went behind Paul to see that whatever he was ministering to them about was true. And we see in the law of Acts 17 and 11, Paul and the team saw how the gospel was beginning to touch the hearts and the lives of people from different social classes, as a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men was converted. Down verse 12. In Athens, Paul had seen at least a few conversions while debating with some of the greatest philosophers of his age. Back in Corinth, Paul struck up a who were also tent makers and became great workers for Christ. Hallelujah. We see Priscilla and Aquila in the law of Acts 18 and 1 through 3. These two then accompanied him on his trip from Corinth. And while they were responsible for helping Apollos understand more of the truth of the gospel, Apollos was then sent back to Greece and continued the gospel ministry in Corinth. Paul, meanwhile, stopped just briefly before returning to Caesarea and Jerusalem, where he greeted the church, then returned once more, going to Antioch. In each town where he preached, Paul was now encountering very severe resistance to the gospel. And we're having that right here and right now in our time, which we live right now. We're having people that don't want to hear the real truth of Jesus. Instead, they were warmed up. The gospel. It's not really the gospel, but it's just warmed up words. Words that sound good. Words that will make they itching ears feel good. But we're told that Paul and Silas, they were in prison because of the agonism of the crowd, and only released after the miraculous intervention of God himself, which led to the jailer's conversion. In the Thessalonica, others were in prison because of Paul, who could not be found in Corinth. Though quite quickly released, Paul was attacked by the Jews once more and taken before court. Hallelujah. We know that Paul spent some time in Antioch before embarking on his third missionary girl. And you know, in this life, you know, all of us have talents. And a lot of us have not found our talents yet. But I want to encourage those of you that don't know your talents and you really want to do a work for God, but you don't know really where to start. Just kind of search out yourself. See what you're really good at, you know. And then ask God for his help in guiding you into your mission for God. You might be a great singer, you know. Might be a great evangelist, great missionary, great warrior, you know. Great preacher, teacher, deacon. Whatever your call is, God will enable you to find your calling in God. Because God is needing some workers in his vineyard. God is needing some workers and he's calling on men and women's girls, young men and women's, young boys and girls. And it's not limited just to just adults, but it goes beyond that. It goes to the scope of a child. God said, forbid them not to come unto him. So God is calling all who will to come into his vineyard. You can teach of God and tell of God at your leisure. Maybe in your lunch hour break, you know. Maybe in your gym, you know, where you're able to witness to some other student about God. Maybe at your university, at your college dorm, you can witness to men's and women's, young men's and women's, you know, and whatever opportunity to present itself. You know, you don't want to get yourself in trouble with the dean of instruction. You don't want to get yourself into trouble. But, you know, it's a way to do any and everything. God said to do everything decent and in order. So you can just, like I said, at your own leisure, you can be able to witness to some young man or some young woman on your campus about God. And then you can further what God wants you to do. So like I said, we're talking about, and this is going to be a lengthy sermon, because we're talking about the life and time of the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest teachers. And we're now this morning on volume 2. And so I'm going to read a little bit more, and then I'm going to turn it over to your hymns of Zion, because I have a beautiful hymn lineup for you on this morning. I know it will be a blessing to your heart and encourage your soul. So I'm just going to read a few more lines, and then we're going to conclude it here this morning. Hallelujah. But like I said, Paul went on to Antioch. That was on his third missionary journey. And it took place somewhere in the period between 53 A.D. and 57 A.D. And you can read that in the Law of Acts 18 and 23 through the 21st and the 20, I mean the 21st and the 16th verse of that same book of Acts. And we're told that on that trip, Paul again traveled north. Then he went west, revisited the churches in Galatia, and then Antioch. Hallelujah. And we are told, hallelujah, that they had received the baptism of John the Baptist. And when Paul filled them in the news about Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit, they were immediately baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit came upon them. That scripture reading can be found in the Law of Acts 19 and 1 through 7. All right, we're going to leave it right now. We're going to leave it right there. And we concluded in the Law of Acts 19 and 1 through 7. All right. I hope and I pray that I've said something, hallelujah, to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions you would want the old shepherd Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're encouraging your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This station has been brought to you by Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship Zion. Send your correspondence, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Or you can send your remittance to www.janicewardministry.org. Till we meet again, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We're going to now change the dynamics of this program, bringing you hymns of Zion to encourage your heart and uplift your spirit. To meet again across these skyways and airways, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Happy 4th of July. Be careful, those of you that are traveling on the interstate. Buck up with Jesus at the wheel. He is, hallelujah, people friendly. Hymns of Zion up next.
Lord, I'm saying, y'all get to me in here to do it.
Thank you. Bye. You can always